From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Aklan and on demand as a podcast. It's Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunathchish, hawa, toyaksak nusum, salama, mahalo for joining the conversation. On today's show, Canadian vocalist and songwriter Barbara Leeka is on her Imposter Syndrome Alaska 2024 tour, and she'll be at the Juno Arts and Culture Center tonight. We'll have some live music and a chat. The Sitka Conservation Society is presenting an art show celebrating the life and legacy of artists Eric and Pam Beeler. The show will play in Juno starting April 5th. We'll have a preview. And we'll meet a young Juno theater artist and filmmaker whose film has been selected as a finalist in the upcoming Hawaii International Film Festival. Those conversations, plus Tongass voices and more, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk, anakaya ha anikach, gunish cheese.
News highlight today, this week's Tongass Voices.
You're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Aucoin and beyond. Joshua Laboka, known around Juno as J-Bo, is the music producer and content creator behind dozens of artists around Southeast Alaska. He and his 9-year-old daughter, Harmony, also produce music together.
All right, Harmony, can you turn on the speakers here, the big speakers?
Full name is Joshua Laboka. So I go by J-Bo Audio, J-B-O-A-U-D-I-O-E. That's what a lot of people know me as in town. And we are here at our home studio where a lot of artists and bands come in to record and perform in the booth over here. So I went to school at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. We had some family issues back here in Alaska, so I decided to continue going to school here online. And then I ended up opening up a studio, but I never wanted to do music for artists. And then, so I had to tell myself, like, I want to keep doing this. So how do I merge what I know about, like, sound design, editing, Foley and effects? How do I apply it to music, like, for artists? So as I was mixing artists, like, beats and stuff, I would, and their vocals, I would apply it. And then I eventually, like, grew a passion for mixing and producing for artists in town. My daughter and I, we do have a YouTube. It's Harmony and J-Bo Audio, where we make instrumentals. I'll have the beat down and I'll do the mixing, and Harmony will do the guitar and pianos.
All right, Dad, one bar pre-roll, please.
She got inspired by the movie Sing, and there's this character named Ash that plays the guitar, voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And then the only way that I knew for us to continue to work on her playing guitar was that we had to make instrumentals. So every week, like, she would play chords, she would lay chords down on instrumentals that I had. And every week it was just improving on that. And that's how she 4 years in now, she plays it pretty good.
Usually we do the guitar first, and then if you're making, like, a song, then you do guitar, vocals, and then piano.
You come in at bar 3. Punch me in at bar 1 and go 3 on bar 1. Let me make sure I have tone here. And she knows, like, the basic controls of when to record, when to stop, going at certain bars and stuff. So let's go 3. Sorry, go, Comanzi. No, I went too. Okay. we usually film this whole process. So even during the mess ups, we'll still put it in the edit. So because it's just, you're never going to get anything perfect. So put me back at bar one, Harmony. Aside from that, once we get it mixed and edited, I'll put some visuals to it, and then we put it on YouTube, and we just, yeah, that's our process.
It's actually really fun, because when we do it, he usually like tell me what's wrong or like what to improve on, and then he lets like, and then sometimes we do games that we made up. And like practice together and sing stuff together or make videos together.
We have a back and forth too. Like, it's not always like Brady Bunch or anything. It's like, no, we should do this. No, Harmony, no. Dad, no, I know. You know, we have this like back and forth banter that we always do, but that's kind of like, it is the relationship that we have, and it makes it so that, you know, if I'm not doing something right, she calls me out. She's not doing something right, she, you know, I call her out. So the saying that we go when right before we end our session is, it's never a good day
without a challenge.
So fail fast.
Fail forward.
Fail a lot. We say the word failure more than we say success, because we've grown in the knowledge of music, and we've grown in making music from all of that.
That was Joshua and Harmony Laboka for this week's Tongass Voices. You also heard Harmony singing her song, Growing. You can find their videos on YouTube.
For more local and statewide news, tune in during All Things Considered at 4 p.m. and Morning Edition starting at 5:45 a.m. each weekday. Or visit ktoo.org. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Tonight, at the Jack at 7 p.m., Barbara Lika and her quintet, will perform in Juno March 26th for a concert at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. It'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. Barbara's Stop in Juno is part of an 8-city tour through Alaska. The tour is called Imposter Syndrome Alaska 2024. Imposter Syndrome is the name of her recent album, released in October 2022. The album explores the complexities of identity and chasing dreams while wrestling with self-doubt. From folk, R&B, and indie pop, it blends genres and is the artist's most honest work to date. Imposter Syndrome is critically acclaimed and has been nominated for the 2024 Canadian Folk Music Awards. And we have Barbara and Tom Fleming in studio here. Gunathchish Haye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Gunathchish to Barbara and Tom for being so thankful. We're having a little difficulty with some of our equipment this afternoon. We are going ultra lo-fi on what we've got the system-wide here. But hi.
Hello. Oh, there I am. Okay.
we've got some sound. So this is a true in studio at the radio microphones performance. Barbara is performing tonight, as I mentioned, at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. The concert is at 7 p.m. and you've been all over Alaska. But let's see if we can hear a tune first, and then we'll chat a little bit.
Sure, we'll do our best.
Okay. What's this song called?
This is called In 40 Years.
Okay.
I wanna play outside in the summer. Forget about the voice of my mother saying, oh, don't lie out in the sun. I wanna eat like nobody's watching. Every piece of cake in the oven, baby, no, won't share with anyone. say you're still beautiful and that'll never change. See, I've been holding on to rules that I'd love to break with you. Maybe we could just let go. Maybe we could just get old. Gonna let my hair go to gray and spend the money on a long vacation. We can go to anywhere we choose. Gonna let the kids do the dishes. We don't have to be so ambitious. We can sleep in every day till noon. In 40 years, I wanna see their face with that same expression as on our wedding day. See, I've been holding on to rules that I'd love to break with you. Maybe we could just let go. Maybe we could just get old. Do 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 do. Oh, in 40 years, the wrinkles on my skin will tell the story of the places that I've been. And wouldn't that be something sweet? You could take the ride with me. Maybe we could just let go. Maybe we could just get old.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, lo-fi is the way to go. kind of a crazy Tuesday afternoon, right?
Oh,
and
man.
Did you all just get here?
We got here really late last night. Our flight was canceled and we thought we weren't going to make it at all. We rolled in about midnight and immediately went for Russian dumplings.
Oh, nice. Yes, that is the place to go.
It was amazing. It was exactly what we wanted.
It's one of those things where, because you tour around a lot, right? So like I had a friend one time, he was in town. He's like, where do I go? Where do I go for where's the spot? Where's the joint? Where's the thing that I need to go to in this town? And where you went for Russian dumplings, everybody knows it's called Pelmeni, is one of the places in Juneau. There's a few of those, but it's just like, it's just this little nothing burger in the middle of town, but they're so good at the right time of night, right?
Well, I'm also half Russian. So I grew up with that stuff and just haven't had it done authentically. And immediately, you know, we're walking over and I'm like, if they don't serve it with vinegar, I'm not even playing, you know? So immediately I'm getting the Russian vibes here in Juneau. You know, it's pretty great. My old childhood food, you know, pelmeni i vareniki.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Now, you have already been to Ketchikan, Kodiak, Talkeetna, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. And you still have left to go after tonight at the Jack. You're going to be in Haines in a couple days on Thursday. And then I think you're closing out the Alaska tour on Saturday in Skagway.
In Skagway. But then we're actually coming back to Juneau for a vacation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're just doing it.
Awesome. Well, we're getting warm. It's getting a little bit nicer out there. It's a perfect thing. So, Barbara, tell me a little bit about your Canadian singer-songwriter. That's how you are billed. Mm-hmm. And I also see the word jazz in there a lot in terms of some of the bio material.
Yeah, I mean, I once upon a time was a jazz singer and was doing exclusively jazz. That's how I got into singing in the first place. I had this, you know, my parents had this jazz record collection and I just heard Ella and Louis singing and immediately was, you know, this is for me. They're in a better place and I'm going. Not that kind of better place at the time. Well, one of them. and yeah, I just really, you know, really followed that path until about 2016 or so, when it was the first time I went to Nashville. And it was just a different kind of storytelling, which I think was what attracted me to jazz music in the first place. You know, that linear storytelling thing that pop music doesn't do. Pop music is more of like a moment. Like
it's a hook.
Yeah, you're so hot, baby. You know, whereas this is like, I met you, I dated you, we fell in love.
Yeah.
It's a whole, and I didn't know that country music could be that. I'd never heard sort of, you know, old Americana. And just, you know, instantly, this is instant love story all over again. It was Ella and Louis times two again.
And, nice.
And yeah, just since then, I've been blending it and mixing, and I've always been writing my own songs, but just grabbing pieces of all the stuff I can find.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And how have you found, is this your first time in Alaska?
It's my first time in Alaska. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Tom?
Yeah. First time.
First time in Alaska as well. That's awesome. And so how did you decide? Because I guess, you know, we think of Canada as our sister, right? A little bit. So maybe that's one reason. But how did you decide to tour Alaska?
I mean, I went to Arts Northwest and Folk Alliance. I was showcasing and I met Jason Hodges over in Anchorage a few times. Yeah. And so it had come up a few times and he asked if I would want to go. And he said, you know, maybe we could do three or four shows. And I kept saying more and more. And he's like, surely you wouldn't want to be away from your family that long. More and more, please. So yeah.
Jason Hodges runs the Anchorage Concert Association in Anchorage. And it is one of those wonderful opportunities for smaller communities to jump on to a tour and allow an artist such as yourself to make it around the state, because you're already going to be coming for the big concert in Anchorage and or Fairbanks, let's say.
Yeah, we did Fairbanks and Anchorage. Yeah. And so that those were kind of our anchors. And then from there, we're just able to build out with whoever signed on. And we just, I mean, you can see we're coming back to Juneau for a vacation. We basically, none of us want to go home. We love it here.
You're like, we don't want to go yet. More Russian dumplings are in our future.
More dumplings, please.
Yeah, I love that. So, and you've been making music for a number of years now. And this particular album that came out last October, was it? Yeah, October. Yeah. Well, I guess October 22, right?
Yeah.
So it's been out for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like, for lack of a better term, your sort of existential crisis album. Is that what we've got going on with this work?
It was. I mean, like I was coming right out of the pandemic. Mm. I had a baby in that period of time. And it was just this whole big, who am I? What am I? You know, stuck in my apartment, surrounded by my comic books. And, you know, am I cool enough? Am I social enough? am I anything enough to be this, you know, interesting, mysterious artist? But in, you know, thinking about that and having all this time to myself, not on the road, I ended up just writing at least two albums worth of an existential crisis. And,
I think that happens for a lot of people coming out. I mean, that pandemic time was like, what else, especially for creative artists like yourself, like what else do you do but sit there and make music? Right. And I mean, that's what we had to do. We couldn't tour. We couldn't go out. We couldn't do.
You can't do anything. And,
yeah.
And like, you can't plan where you're going. You can't. So you're just sitting there. It's I guess
I'll write some music.
I tried everything else. I tried getting married. I tried having a baby.
This is what I also noticed from doing a little bit of online research for you was just how funny you are. You're very hilarious.
Oh, and thanks. You should give my band the memo. Yeah. See, Tom's shaking his head. They want me to know that I am not funny and should. Yeah, should just not make any jokes.
No more jokes.
Yeah.
So what will we be hearing tonight? We'll be hearing mostly tracks from that album, or will you be mixing?
Yeah, we're playing the whole album.
Oh, okay.
But we're also going to play, because we're on the, you know, we're on the tail end of it. I feel like we're already starting to work on the next one. But we're playing the whole album and then a few things from some past albums and then maybe a cover or two.
Ah, nice. Okay. Yeah. I like that. So let's see. Can we hear another song?
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want to do? You want to do that? Yeah. Okay, sure. We'll do here's actually this tune. I wrote it for my husband when he was pissing me off because I said he was so good at it that he should publish some kind of guide on how to piss me off.
Oh, nice. I like this. So this is for all the husbands out there.
Yeah, this is for all the husbands who've become experts in it. But I played it at Arts Northwest, and Medium Build was there, who's this Alaskan artist who now is just totally blown up.
Blown up.
And it was part of this exercise with a touring group called Parlor in the Round.
Okay.
And they had him sing this song. And so I have this recording of him singing it, and it just kills me, man. when I wrote it, I thought it was funny. So we're going to do the kind of angry version for you. But just so you know, somewhere in the world, there's this heart-wrenching version that made me aware that this song might be a little mean.
Okay. Well, we love Medium Build around Alaska, so that'll be funny. We'll have to find that. Here we go.
Baby, you should write the book on how to let me down. Let me make believe in dreams that won't come true. It's a game we play, round and round and round we go again. Nobody wins, but I always lose. You should put it all on paper, all the different ways you found how to love me, how to let me down. Baby, you should write the book on how to make me cry.
That is beautiful and rough. Let's say it that way, like in terms of the emotions of that.
Probably an overreaction to him saying, I won't pick up the dry cleaning.
Well, I want to say that Barbara Lika is performing tonight with her quintet. If you like what you've heard here, you'll hear the full band.
Yeah.
With keyboards and everything. The things we couldn't get working today.
Yeah, we got two keyboards.
Two keyboards.
I play keys. We have another keys player. We have three people singing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's going to be, it's a blast. It's tonight. It's at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. And, of course, you can go to jahc.org to get your tickets. And for more about Barbara, you can go to barbaralikamusic.com. That's BarbaralikaMusic.com. It's a really great website. There's videos of performances, and there's interview. There's just great stuff on your website. Oh, so I really appreciate you coming in today and sharing with us all about. And I'm glad you've had a great first Alaska tour. And I love that you're going to be sticking around Juno. Maybe some more pelmeni in there.
Oh, yeah. Pelmeni.
All right. Thanks so much. Good to choose for being here.
Yeah. Большое спасибо.
Really appreciate it. Okay. Up next, we'll preview an upcoming art show celebrating the life, art, and legacy of legendary Alaskan artists Eric and Pam Beeler. This is a Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Kleni Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. KTOO turned 50 a few weeks back, and we are celebrating throughout the spring, and we want to hear from you, the community that has supported locally owned airwaves in Juno for 5 decades. We'd love to hear your reflections on how KTOO has impacted you over the years. We're looking for audio submissions that are 1 to 3 minutes in length that share your thoughts, memories, driveway moments, personal stories about the station that we can use on the air. To submit, record your message on your smartphone and email it to junoafternoon@ktoo.org. Instructions for getting good audio can be found on our homepage at ktoo.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Gunath Chish, Hawa, Salama, thank you.
Beyond the table, a scarlet ectumen, it's flat. The horse is from the stable. I stay with them all evening. I see them through the night. When frigid love and fallen nerves take flight. On Sunday, sing Hosanna, kiss your wife to sleep. On Monday, yeah, my cabin, my secrets to keep. I stay with them.
That's a little Mountain Dove song from our friend and yours, Annie Bartholomew. A wonderful song from her album, Sisters of Whitechapel. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. This coming April 1st Friday, Alaska Robotics Gallery will be hosting the Sitka Conservation Society's Keep On Pickin', celebrating the art and legacy of Eric and Pam Beeler. The show runs April 5th through the 14th and will have an opening reception on April 5th, starting at 4:30 p.m. For more on the art show, go to sitkawild.org/Beeler, B-E-A-L-E-R. LER_art_show, Beeler Art Show at sitkawild.org. They probably also have a big button on their page at the moment to see that. And here to share are Leon Clare, Wilderness and Community Engagement Coordinator for the Sitka Conservation Society, joining us on Zoom. Hi, Leon. How are you?
Hello, I'm great. Thanks for having me, Boston.
Awesome. And Pat Race, owner or co-owner?
Co-owner.
Co-owner.
Yeah, I got a partner.
You got a partner. That's what I thought. Alaska Robotics Gallery. Everybody knows and loves Pat Race. It's really wonderful that you're part of First Friday and you're bringing in this kind of art and all of that. So, gonna chishaye adi for you both being here. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Wasa iati. How's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, we're getting really excited that the show is happening, opening up in like 10 or 11 days now.
Yeah, it's coming up quick. And it's so great that we were able to have you on the show. And so first of all, let's set the scene here. Tell us a little bit about, you know, our folks, Eric and Pam.
Yes, I would love to. Eric and Pam Beeler were both incredible artists. They passed away several years ago and left their property and estate to the Sitka Conservation Society's endowment fund called the Living Wilderness Fund. And we're really grateful for that gift. It was clear that this was a place of deep meaning to them, and they wanted us to protect the place they love, which is the Tongass. So we've been developing it and hosting artists and writers and creative retreats, leaders, musicians, including Annie Bartholomew there, and are excited about building this program. With the estate came a lot of the prints that were left in art, and several of those are Eric's Alaska Folk Festival posters, kind of from the early 2000 years, and we'll have those as well as some Boardwalk Boogie posters. I'm sure that there's lots of folks in Juneau that participated in the boogies, including Pat, and some other fun things like stickers and comics. They're all of the posters and art are hand framed by Andrew Tomes, our executive director, with salvaged red and yellow cedar, and they're really beautiful. So
I love that. I love that it's able to, that when folks leave something behind and it's able to be used, as you said, like for hosting concerts or events or, you know, retreats or, you know, writers or all kinds of things. Like, that's a really beautiful gift. And then it just says a lot about the folks who did that. And I didn't know Eric and Pam personally, but Pat, tell us a little bit about like a Pelican Boardwalk Boogie and what that was all about and how they were involved in that.
Man, I'd love to tell you about the Boardwalk Boogie, but Costa says what happens at the boogie stays at the boogie. So I will not be telling you all about the Boardwalk Boogie, but there's some great comics and some posters and some artistic remnants of the boogie that for those who were there and for those who were not there, paint a picture. And it's nice to see Eric's work. I grew up, you know, going to the Folk Fest as a kid and like always just loved the artwork on those posters that he did over the years, and loved the boogie posters. And it's just his artwork it just stands out among Southeast artists. I want to say iconic, but I feel that's a little cliche. It's just like, it's just really impressive. It's got a personality and a signature and a style all of its own. And, it's kind of a lightning in a bottle. It really makes you feel like what Southeast feels like.
Yeah, that's really great. And you at Alaska Robotics, how long have you been participating in First Fridays?
Oh, man. Well, we actually, our participation in First Fridays predates the Alaska Robotics Gallery. We along with Sarah Astersmith, used to run the Ruby Room, which was hidden in the Emporium building, deep in the bowels of that building. So we've been doing this for probably, 18 years or something.
Yeah. Right. And you're at your new location up the hill there.
Yeah. And so we're up by Amalga on 134 North Franklin Street. And it is great. It's a really big, beautiful space. And we put a lot of time and effort into making it nice. And if you've ever been to the old gallery, it's like no longer a narrow hallway. There's a lot of room to breathe and a lot of room to see the artwork. So we're
you
really
can actually open a book now.
Yeah. 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 You can open a book without hitting your elbow on the wall. Yeah. So it's, and we're really excited to share this artwork in this location. It just feels like it's going to be something people can take time to appreciate.
Yeah, that's great. And Leon, I know that Eric was also a talented wood engraver, carpenter, boat builder, woodworker. Is some of that sort of legacy still available to be seen around the Sea Pony Farm?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of his boats are still there. We're trying to find some better homes for people, for some of them that people can take care of. We're hoping to get one actually down to the Port Townsend Wind Boat Festival this year. And it's just, and like just everything that they built at the property is just so like, artistic and authentic, and they salvaged so much from the Tongass right around them and built their home. And just the way that they lived was so connected to place. And it was clear that they just really, really loved that place and were trying to continue that legacy along as well as bringing art to people and building community through art and music.
I mean, it really sounds like an incredible couple. I mean, I know in the notes, you'd also mentioned that they raised chickens and turkeys.
Yeah.
And
Pam was an incredible artist as well. She did fiber arts and knitting and weaving, and we'll have some of her work on display as well.
Oh,
and,
nice.
She also helped with most of the framing for a lot of Eric's work that he sold.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like they were an artistic couple who also then kind of figured out how to live their lives by using the resources available to them. And I don't want to say living off the land, as it were, but in a sense, that's what they were able to do, right? They built their home from salvaged lumber and materials as well, right? So, and all of this is able to be seen. How does it work now with the Sea Pony Farm, Leon? Do you offer tours of it, or is it mostly when you host events?
We don't so much host tours and events. We host more like individuals or two people, very small groups, based on the capacity of the space that are some sort of residency or retreat that connects to the mission of the Sitka Conservation Society. So whether that's art or advocacy or policy work or something connected to the Pelican community, we kind of host those smaller, intimate retreats, and then any outputs that connect with our mission of protecting the Tongass, the place that Eric and Pam loved, or supporting sustainable communities across the region, which our work spans all across Southeast Alaska. But we're hoping to develop the barn, which is a very amazing building currently used for storage. And we want to be able to develop that into more of a collaborative, little bit larger group space for like musicians to come and like work on music or practice, or larger groups to work on projects. And we're fundraising for that as well. And part of this event is a fundraiser to help us complete that work at the property. So some of the art will be
for sale.
We'll have some on silent auction and appreciate any support that people want to give.
Yeah. Well. I see. Okay.
And I'm really excited about this because I think that Southeast Alaska needs more of these spaces where artists and, you know, thinkers and policymakers can get away and just enjoy being in a place and have that sense of place and really appreciate it for what it is. And I think it's also important to bring in people from outside of Alaska and give them that like really authentic experience, especially if they're making, you know, sometimes we have federal policymakers are making policy about this place. And it's good to get people connected to the land.
Yeah, get away from the busyness of everything and just kind of see what it's really all about.
The big town here in Juneau, get out in there.
So, Leon, why?
We'll have some examples. Oh, sorry. We'll have some examples of who we've hosted and the type of people. And if people are interested in getting more involved or applying for a residency, we'll have that information at the show as well.
I see. So you'll have information about the Sitka Conservation Society and all your different programs and all that. And yeah. I'm curious, like have you had this art show in Sitka already or other places, or is this like the premiere of the show?
This is the premiere of this specific collection of the Folk Festival and Boogie posters. We got to shout out Annie B for her after her residency this fall. She's like, oh, we got to do something in Juneau, like kind of around Folk Fest would be awesome. She's on the board of Alaska Folk Festival. I also want to give a shout out to them for helping us and put this together and then connected us with Pad. And that is amazing space. And we're really grateful to be able to host it at the Boardwalk Boogie. But there's so much art and so many people are coming out and saying, oh, I have this, I'd love for it to be in the show. And we're seeing this as kind of like the start of something maybe that will become like a bigger art show of the whole collection of what's kind of out there still of Eric's someday.
Nice. Well, I was going to say, why did you choose Juneau? But obviously the Folk Festival and the work that they did on posters, it makes sense, right? The connection is there. It's a perfect time for that. I do want to mention before we go that you're also looking for event sponsors. Obviously, the Sitka Conservation Society is a nonprofit organization, but you're looking for event sponsors to help put on this show and or travel and all of that, right? How can people find out more about that?
Yeah, people can contact me, LIONE at sitkawild.org or call 907-747-7509. We're really grateful for any support and are looking for sponsorships to both help put on the art show, but also support our property work, especially that barn project that I mentioned before.
That's great.
Yeah, and I want to thank For the Wild podcast, the Fishing Vessel Pacific Dawn and Amalga Distillery who have already offered some sponsorships to support us.
Yeah, and we should thank Colette Costa as well, who's allowing us to use a lot of the work from the Boogie.
Posters
and comics and some stuff that just really hasn't been seen in a while that is it's like a great blast from the past.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I feel like this is so important because there's folks like me who maybe are newer to Juneau, who may not have the connection, or newer to Southeast and may not have the connection to folks, you know, such as the Beelers in terms of the work that they did and what they contributed to Southeast Alaska. So a show like this seems like the perfect, you know, opportunity for people to learn a little bit about the history and to learn about folks who have contributed to the culture to Southeast Alaska. So I think it's great. It's really wonderful. Again, it's the Sitka Conservation Society. The show is called Keep on Pickin', Celebrating the Art of and Legacy of Eric and Pam Beeler. And the show runs April 5th through the 14th. It will have an opening reception on the 5th starting at 4:30. And of course, that will take place at Alaska Robotics Gallery. What's the address again, Pat?
134 North Franklin Street.
134 North Franklin, just up the street from the clock.
That's right. Yeah.
And for more information, as Leon said, you can contact her at LIONE at sitkawild.org. And the phone number is 747-7509. Is there anything that we didn't mention that we need to mention before we head out?
I think we covered it. There's going to be live music by Annie B and Aaron Heist, so come out to First Friday, and that even adds just another fun aspect. So
it's going
to
be a whole thing.
It's going to be a thing. Well, I appreciate you both for joining us today. Gunnith Cheech Leon from Sitka and Pat from just up the way. Yep. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Boston. We'll see you soon, Juneau.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, up next, we'll meet a young local filmmaker whose film has been selected as a finalist in the Future Filmmaker Showcase in Hawaii. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. People wear them when it's cold. Dogs sometimes wear them, mostly to look cute. Kids refuse to put them on. We're talking about coats. And it turns out cakes need them too. Have you ever frosted a cake and wound up with a bunch of crumbs in the frosting, making that birthday confection look like it came down with the chicken pox just before the big party? Well, blow out the candles and make a wish. What you need is a crumb coat. A crumb coat isn't something you buy at REI. It's a technique. After you bake your cake and let it cool, seal in plastic wrap and refrigerate for at least 30 minutes or up to 3 days. You want the cake to be cold and firm. Meanwhile, make your frosting. When your cake is chilled, place on a serving plate or cardboard round. By the way, do you know you can buy the fancy gold or silver cake rounds at your local supermarket bakery? Then scoop out a half cup of frosting from the bowl. Spread this dollop over your cake in a very thin layer. Yes, it will probably collect some flecks of cake. That's the crumb coat, silly. Put the cake back in the refrigerator for 20 minutes to harden slightly. With all of the errant cake bits trapped in a coat, you can now apply the remainder of your frosting. Decorate according to your artistic preference, and happy birthday to you! Find complete crumb coat instructions at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kainoa Thole, 13-year-old Perseverance Theater star student and local theater slash filmmaker, has been selected as an official finalist in the Future Filmmakers Showcase competition to take place in Hawaii. In Honolulu specifically, during the Hawaii International Film Festival. It's going to happen April 5th through the 7th, which is just a little bit away. And this is Kainoa's second year participating in the International Film Festival. This year, with his original film, how do you say that title of your film?
It's Kanaka Connections, Hawaii to Alaska.
Kanaka Connections, Hawaii
and Alaska.
And Alaska. Well, mahalo and gunachish, right, for being here. And of course, you're joined in the studio by your mom, the world famous Salisa Thole.
Oh, yeah, right. Hello. Mahalo, gunachish.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, so Kainoa, let's talk about first, what is this film about? Yeah, tell me a little bit about it.
So basically, it's about the connections between Hawaii and Alaska, like what they have in common, like relationship with each other and the history behind, with each other, because there's been many historical connections between the two states.
Okay. And it's a documentary, right? Is that what you would call it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Okay. Edutaining animation slash dark documentary.
Okay. And how did you come up with the idea to make that a film?
Well, the theme for this year's Hawaii International Film Festival was, I think...
it was Hawaii's youth leading by example.
Yeah.
Okay.
And... At first, we weren't sure what exactly to do, but then we eventually settled on like doing connections between Hawaii and Alaska, because we know there's a lot of them and they're not usually like talked about.
Ah, I see. And I noticed something that you talk a little bit about in the film, I think, right? Do you talk about the canoe voyage that was happening?
Yes, the Hokulea voyage. Starting on June 15th. What year was that?
2023.
Yeah, just last summer.
Yeah. And I actually got to go visit that and see it in person. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they had that huge event here, and the, you know, it was great to see the differing tribes like greeting each other on the beach, and you know, the sort of seeing that history come out and play it alive. That's kind of a cool connection, right? That's one connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did this come about? I know that somehow Perseverance was involved. Leslie Ishii was like an inspiration for you. Tell me a little bit about that.
So, like, how did I get to be involved in the Hawaii International Film Festival?
Yeah.
I was, every year I, well, starting like a few years ago, every year from then on, I've been doing the STAR program at Perseverance Theater.
Yeah.
And so, I think the first time I did it, Miss Leslie Ishii,
the artistic director of Perseverance Theater.
Yeah, she
asked about your films.
Yeah, she asked about my films and suggested that I join the Hawaii International Film Festival, because it's a really awesome festival that happens every year. And so I accepted the offer, and then I got to join, and I worked on a film. I think my first film was Stories of My Kupuna.
I've seen that one. That's on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. And you can go. I just want to mention your YouTube because it's pretty fun that you have one. And it's K Thole, K-T-H-O-L-E. If you search that on YouTube, you'll find your channel.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I just wanted to mention that Perseverance Theater and the Ted Stevens Foundation partnered up with HIF and the Daniel K. Inouye Institute, and they opened the doors to all Alaskan youth. So not just Hawaiian natives or Alaskan natives, but all Alaskan youth.
Oh, that's
can
really
participate.
Cool. Yeah.
And it happens every year.
And the festival is happening all the time now, right?
Yeah.
And this is your film, Kanaka Connections, Hawaii and Alaska. It is in competition, as it were, right? You're a finalist for a potential award. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
So tell us a little bit about what that award is. It's a certain part of the festival. It's a different aspect of the festival, right?
Yeah. So every person in the festival makes a film, and then they submit it to the HIF, Hawaii International Film Festival. And then like a bit after they submit it, they'll get we'll get an email saying that we got, like, telling us if we got selected. And then once we get selected, then we get to go to Honolulu.
Well, it's a 4-minute film that they need to submit, and they need to follow within the theme and the guidelines that
right.
they require. And Kainoa was recommended to participate in this program by Leslie Ishii, and he submitted his film like others, and I don't know exactly how many contestants are a part of it. But he is one of many who are participating. The event was so big last year that they actually had to create a separate event focusing on the youth filmmakers.
Yeah, I love it, because it's called like the Future Filmmaker Showcase.
It is. It's
right?
the first annual Opio Fest
okay.
that they have now.
How do you say that?
Opio.
Opio.
Opio. Yes.
Oh, nice. So this is the first time they're doing that, because it's gotten so big, they had to create this whole separate thing. And Kainoa is one of the first to participate in that.
Yeah, from Juno. Well, no, actually, Nicholas Hope, Lily Hope's son.
Oh, nice.
Participated a few years ago, and then won a special award. And then Kainoa participated last year and won a special award.
Awesome.
So Rose Katas, Frank Katas and Stacy Katas's young one, she participated as well last year. So
wow.
The three of these kiddos got to
Juno's got travel. Talent for sure, right? So what is it that you like about filmmaking?
Well, honestly, like, I just watch like TV and stuff, and like every time I see that, I'm like, wow, that's so cool. I wonder if I could make something like that. And then when I try it, it's like really fun to like produce that kind of stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, I really loved also because you do some of the voiceover, right? And I loved, I think my favorite moment in the one we were talking about that's on your YouTube is where you make the duck sounds. Yeah. Where you're talking as the duck, but there's text on the screen, translation for the duck sounds, which is pretty amazing. So you definitely want to go to YouTube and check out Kainoa's YouTube videos. He's got a few of them up there. This one will eventually be up there. I do want to mention that the Future Filmmakers Showcase will have its online premiere on the Hawaiian International Film Festival's YouTube channel on Saturday, April 6th at 7:30 p.m. Hawaii time. So you can do that translation for Alaska time. And of course, after the festival, Kainoa will post his video on his YouTube channel at K-Thole. And that is on YouTube, which is going to be pretty cool. And I knew we're running out of time, but I did want to mention that you do have a GoFundMe. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Ted Stevens Institute and those partners are providing travel for you and your mother to go, but you're also looking to hopefully bring your dad and your brother, and you have a GoFundMe that's closing out tomorrow, right?
Yes, it is. We are so grateful to everyone who contributed to our GoFundMe campaign. And because of that, with all of our powers combined, we are now able to bring along my husband, Jeffrey, or Kainoa's dad, Jeffrey Thole, and my youngest, Nico Thole.
Oh, that's so great.
So we will all be traveling together as a family. So thanks, everyone.
Wow. Well, break a leg, as they say in the theater, and best of luck in the competition. And it sounds like we have a bunch of future filmmakers, including Kainoa, in our little town of Juneau. That's so wonderful. So gunachish mahalo for being here today.
Gunachish mahalo.
Mahalo.
That will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, as we near the annual Folk Fest, we'll chat with folks who are working to put Southeast music legend Buddy Tabor's catalog online. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp.